Well, grab a Bible if you would. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to stand in just a moment, and we're going to hear God's Word, Psalm 119, beginning in verse 25, and we're going to read down through verse 32, Psalm 119. If you're grabbing one of those black pew Bibles, you'll find that on page 651, Psalm 119. A few years ago, we did a study through the book of Nehemiah, and what we found in the book of Nehemiah was that as the people were coming back into the land of Israel, they were coming back to Jerusalem, they're working on rebuilding the city, they're working on reinstituting the worship of God there after they had spent 70 years in exile. In Nehemiah chapter 8, all the people, it says, the men and the women and the children, all the people gather together to hear the word of God. And Ezra the priest stood up to read from God's word. It says he read it from early morning till midday, read from God's word. And what it says in Nehemiah chapter 8 is that as the people heard the word of God read, they stood. So we like that. We stand also in honor of hearing God's word. So would you stand with me and let's hear God's word together, Psalm 119. Verse 25 down through verse 32. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told you of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. This is the word of God. You may be seated. It is the time of year where many of us are thinking, how is 2023 going to be different than 2022? In what ways will 2023 be different than 2022? We're thinking about that, but we're also thinking not just how will 2023 be different, where many of us are thinking, how will 2023 be better? How will 2023 be better than 2022? Many of us want that. All of us need that, 2023 to be better. What's it going to take for you? What's it going to take for you for 2023 to be better than 2022? What's going to make the difference for you in 2023? What's it going to take to bring about the right kind of change in your life in the new year and throughout the new year? Psalm 119 gives us the answer. Psalm 119 tells us that the answer is this book. The answer is Scripture. And this is today, right now, this is our fourth year giving attention to Psalm 119 here as we end one year and as we begin the next year. We've been taking this psalm over these years, just one little section at a time, to help us focus on the Word of God as we launch into a new year, because Psalm 119 is all about God's Word. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the book of Psalms. In fact, it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. It's a poem. It's an acrostic poem, so it's written in 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. So if you look over verse 25, maybe in your copy of God's Word, you see the word Daleth. That's the Hebrew letter. There are 22 different Hebrew letters, and each stanza in the Hebrew text, each stanza would begin, each verse in that stanza would begin with the Hebrew letter, and then the next stanza would begin with the next Hebrew letter, those verses in that stanza, and on it goes. It works through the entire Hebrew alphabet, and it's focused on, it's centered on the Word of God. Psalm 119 is meant to celebrate the Word of God. Throughout this chapter, as you read it, and I hope you do, I hope you'll read the entire chapter, 176 verses, this afternoon. But throughout this chapter, what you'll see is 8 different terms used to describe God's Word. 7 of those terms are used in this section that we just read. In Psalm 119, verse 25 through 32, God's Word, His Scripture, is called God's Word, God's statutes, His precepts, His law, His rules, His testimonies, and His commandments. across the 176 verses of this psalm, you'll find these words are all used synonymously. So what we see in Psalm 119 is that every bit of God's word is in view, and the totality of God's word is in view. We think about God's word, scripture. We're thinking about not just the feel-good stories of scripture, but the specific rules as well are important and are to be celebrated. Not just the words in red in some of our Bibles, but the words in black as well are God's authoritative word to be followed in our lives. Scripture is God's testimony, so it's His witness of His own works, His own acts for us, and His statutes and His commandments and His laws, and all of it is good and for our good. Some of us tend more to the big story of Scripture, and it is that, but it also includes the details, the small details, and the stories within the story. All of it is God's word. All of it is good, and all of it is for our good. All of it, each part, every section, the narratives and the commands and the poetry and the prophecy, all of it is God's word. And God's word is what you need to make the changes that you need in 2023. For 2023 to be different, for it to be better, for you to make the changes that you need in your life, for you to grow in what matters, to grow in your walk with God, to grow in your relationship with God, Scripture is what you need. Psalm 119 zeroes in, it focuses in on Scripture, what Scripture is, what Scripture does. And in this section that we just heard in particular, the psalmist focuses also on the way that Scripture calls us to live. Scripture wants to reveal to us who God is. It engenders faith in us so that we'll trust Him. But it also is meant to show us now how we're to live in response to God, how we live in response to Him. And this section here points us to that way of life. Look down with me at your text and notice it with me. Notice what the psalmist, reflecting on his life, reflecting on Scripture, says about the way in Psalm 119, 25 through 32. Verse 26, when I told you of my ways, verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts. Verse 29, put false ways far from me. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. Verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments. So in Psalm 119, in these verses, this section here, what we see is contrasted. We see my way and God's ways, right? My ways compares with God's way of life. And the psalmist reminds us, really by his own example, that we all fall short of that way. All of us fall short of that way. And by his example here, he calls us back to God's way. We all fall short of God's way. We all seek to live in our own way. And by his example here, he's calling us back to God's way of life. What's going to make the difference for you in 2023? What's going to bring about the right kind of change in your life? Let me give you four words. Four words that I get from Psalm 119, verse 25 through verse 32. Four words for you for 2023. Four words for you to align your life with God's word and God's way. First, recognition and repentance. Recognition and repentance. And by recognition, I'm talking about an understanding of God's way and the awareness to recognize that the way of life, there's areas in my own life where I'm not there. I recognize the difference between my ways and God's ways, recognition, and repentance. Seeing that difference, I don't just see that difference. No, I turn back. Repentance is a turning. It's an act of faith, actively turning back to God and to God's ways. Recognition and repentance. The psalmist shows us these things in these verses. You can see it with me, verse 25. He says, my soul clings to the dust. My soul clings to the dust. What kind of things do you cling to in your life? What kind of things do you stick to, or they stick to you? What kind of things are you known by? What kind of things do you walk in? What kind of things do you give yourselves to? The psalmist here says, my soul clings to the dust. When he says my soul clings to the dust. It's not that he's been rolling around on the ground for a while sweating and it's all sticking to him. He's not talking about that. When he says, my soul clings to the dust, it's very likely that he's confessing weakness and guilt and sin. He's confessing weakness and guilt. He's confessing that he's one who is under the curse of sin. Dust in the Old Testament was used as a sign of repentance. I just finished my Bible reading plan for the last year, and one of the last books that I read in that plan at the end of December was the book of Job. So just a couple days ago, I finished the book of Job, and at the end of the book of Job, what you find is Job sits in dust for a little time before God restores him. He sits in dust as a sign of repentance. He's been wrong in the ways that he's talked about God along the way. Dust was a sign of repentance because to sit in dust is to admit. It's to admit that what God proclaimed in the curse after Adam's sin is true. When Adam sinned in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, we'll put it up for you, Genesis 3:19, after Adam's sin, God told Adam, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You are dust. This is part of the curse. You're formed from the dust, and so to dust now you shall return. Death will be your lot because of your sin. You are dust. When you experience the curse of sin, death, you will return to dust. And the psalmist is here confessing, my soul clings to the dust. He's admitting to God that I'm weak. I'm guilty. I'm lowly. I'm in the dust by my nature. And just like Adam, just like the serpent God that you cursed, my soul clings to the dust. I am dust. And I cling to other things that are also are dust, just affected by the curse. I've not been living rightly. He recognizes that. Verse 26, when I told you of my ways, you answered me. When I told you of my ways, you answered. What are those ways? I think we see it in verse 29 where he says, put false ways far from me. When I told you of my ways, you answered me. Verse 29, put false ways far from me. Those two verses give us a snapshot. The psalmist is recognizing where he falls short. He's aware of the difference between him and God and his ways and God's ways. He's aware that his ways aren't in alignment with God's ways. And it's not just that, not just not in alignment, but he's aware that they're false ways. His way of life has been false ways. He's making honest confession about his life, his way of life. He hasn't been living completely in the right way. He hasn't been walking only on the straight way. He recognizes it. Verse 26, verse 27, he knows that he needs to know and understand God's word and God's works better so that he can live rightly. He recognizes that he falls short, and so he repents. He repents. He turns. He turns back. He turns back to God. He returns to God and to God's ways. That's what this is in Psalm 119 here, verse 25. See it with me, verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. He recognizes, so he prays, give me life according to your word. He repents. He turns back to God, God's word, and God's ways. Verse 26. When I told you of my ways, that confession, you answered me. I believe that's a word of assurance, a word of God's assurance of his forgiveness. You answered me. And so his prayer then, teach me your statutes. He's turning back to God. He recognizes and he repents. Verse 29, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. Have you ever thought about that God's law is God's grace to you? God's law is a gift of God's grace. Put these false ways from me, God. In your grace and in your kindness, would you teach me your rules, your law, that I could obey them? He recognizes false ways and he repents. He turns back to God. He returns to God. That's the model. That's the model for us. And it's meant to be for us in the big ways, in the big areas of sin, and in the little ways, in the seemingly insignificant areas of sin in our own lives. In Scripture, we think about recognizing and repenting, and maybe we think about Saul, who later we know as Paul. Saul, who was violently opposed to Christianity, and he thought he was following God. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was on the right way of life until God met him on the road to Damascus. And he saw the distance between his ways and God's ways. And he recognized the distance. He recognized that he wasn't actually following God. And so he repented. He turned back to God. He began following Christ, and God had mercy on him. Maybe we think about someone like Peter. Peter, the Apostle Peter in Galatia. Peter, who wasn't living out the gospel rightly in his life. Peter, who was really living in a very racist manner when he wasn't willing to sit with some people because they weren't Jews like he was. And he was confronted with this sin by Paul, and he recognized the difference between his way of life and between God's way of life. He recognized that difference, and he repented, and God had mercy on him. Or maybe we think about the man in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The man who Paul told the church at Corinth, you need to kick him out of your church. You need to remove him from among you because his sin was worse than the ways of the sins of the non-believers. He was with his father's wife. And through that act of church discipline, he recognized the difference in his way of life and God's way of life. And in 2 Corinthians, we read that he repented, he returned, and he came back, and God had mercy on him. In all of these big ways, we need to repent, recognize the difference, and repent, but it's also the little things. Listen to this list of sins in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 that he calls all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Envy, strife, deceit, gossips, boastful, disobedient to parents. It's the big things and it's the little things. And wherever we see this difference between our way and God's ways, we recognize that, we're to repent. So what about you? What do you need to change in 2023? What do you need to change in 2023? Where do you recognize the difference between the way you've been living and the way that God would have you live? Where do you need to repent? Have you been living with envy in your heart? Is there a neighbor or a coworker or a family member that you've been envious of? Have you been living foolishly this past year? Have you been living in a way where your life is marked by gossip? You're one who's known to gossip and to speak about things that you shouldn't be speaking about, the things that someone else has no business knowing about. Have you been marked by gossip in the past year? These sins, all of them are serious. The verses right after this, Romans 1, God's word says that we know that those who do such things deserve to die. All sin is serious. All sin leads to death. What about deceit? Have you been deceitful in business dealings this year? Ways that you've talked about others when they're not around. Have you been deceitful? Teenagers, have you been disobedient to your parents this year? That's listed here. Have you been disobedient to your parents? Where have you been living in false ways, the psalmist calls it? Where have you been living in false ways? Do you see it? Do you recognize a difference in any area of your life between your ways and God's ways? And would you be willing to repent? Would you be willing to make your prayer, Psalm 119, verse 29, would you be willing to pray this to God? God, would you put false ways far from me? Help me, God, to not live in these false ways any longer. And God, would you graciously teach me your law? Would you be willing for that specific area of your life to pray that prayer? To recognize, to repent, and to find, like all these others in Scripture, and like many of us have experienced in our own lives, that when we do that, God has mercy on us. God has mercy on us. If you recognize the difference between your ways and God's ways, the first thing to do is repent. Repentance doesn't stop just at confession. No, repentance would have you live differently in response. And that leads to the final two words: to align your life with God's word in 2023, to align your life with God's ways, recognize and repent. And then I put before you the words responsibility and reliance. Responsibility and reliance. If you recognize that there's anywhere in life where you're not living by God's ways, you recognize that, and so you respond by repenting, you turn back to God. Psalm 119 shows us then that we need to take personal responsibility in how we live, and at the same time, we need to live in reliance on God to help us do that. Responsibility and reliance. That's the way the psalmist lived. He took personal responsibility. Look at verse 30. Did you see what he's committing himself to do in verse 30? In verse 30, he says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. So if I've been living these false ways, but God, I'm asking you to teach me your law because I have chosen now. I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I set or I firmly place now your rules before me. I cling, he says in verse 31, I cling to your testimonies. Notice earlier he says, I cling to the dust, but now here he's saying, I'm clinging to your testimonies. He's taking responsibility. He's making a commitment to live in a certain way. What he is going to do, what he is doing right now, he's taking responsibility. But even that, it's not totally apart from God. Even that, he recognizes that the only way that he can do that, he's taking responsibility, he is going to do it. But the only way that he's going to be able to do that is if he receives divine help. We see that also in the psalm. He's going to do it, but he needs God at work in him to do it. He's going to take concrete steps, but he's going to do that relying on God to give him what he needs. We see that reliance throughout these verses. Verse 25, give me life. According to your word, true, real life only comes in accordance with Scripture. Verse 26, teach me, God, teach me your statutes. Verse 28, strengthen me according to your words. All of these are great prayers for you to pray, by the way. Verse 29, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. So reliance. And we even see reliance and responsibility together in these verses. Verse 27, he says he's going to meditate on God's wondrous works. He's taking responsibility. I will meditate. I'm going to think over and over again about your wondrous works. I'll do that. But first, he asked God to make me understand the way of your precepts. That's reliance. Verse 32, I will run, not walk, run. I'm going to eagerly pursue the way of life. I'm going to run in the way of your commandments. I'm going to be happy about obeying your commandments, God. I will do that. I will run in the way of your commandments. That's taking responsibility. When you enlarge my heart, that's reliance. I need you to give me what I need so that I can do this. And I'm trusting that as you do that, I'm going to take these steps forward. You're going to give me what I need, so I'm going to run wholeheartedly in this way. Taking responsibility and relying on God. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. How does God enlarge our heart? How does God enlarge our heart? He does it through the gospel. He does it through the gospel. 1 John tells us that we love because he first loved us. Where do we see the love of God? We see it revealed to us on a cross outside of Jerusalem. How does God enlarge our heart? He does it through the gospel. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14 puts it like this, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, so he's talking about us, when we were walking in our own ways, our own false ways, when we were separated from God, not following him on his ways, but instead going our own way, living in sin, deserving curse, deserving death, from dust we came and to dust we should go. But for us who deserve death, God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. How did God do that? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. How did he do that? This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. The gospel. God enlarges your heart as you meditate on His wondrous works of what He did for you in Christ. When you deserve death for your sins, and He gave that to Jesus in your place. When He took that list of sins that stands against you and He hung it over Jesus' head in your place, and He gave you full pardon and full forgiveness, and you who deserve death, He made you alive now together with Christ, the gospel. God enlarges our heart by the gospel. And our response to that, our response to the gospel, is to run in the way of His commandments. If you want a goal for 2023, write that one on a card and tape it where you'll see it. Run in the way of His commandments in 2023. Run in the way of His commandments and do it because of what He's done for you in Jesus. Take responsibility. Follow Him. Rely on Him to help you all along the way and run in the way of His commandments. Now let's just get really practical for just a minute as we close. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? How's it going to look for you? Think about all of that. Think about that in the context of Psalm 119. It's all about the Word of God. Let me end this morning with four suggestions, real practical. What do you do to do that in this year? Number one, I would say pray. Pray. If you don't desire, right now, you hear me say, run in the way of His commandments, and you're like, that doesn't sound good at all to me. I'd much rather do anything else but run after God's commandments. If you don't desire that, begin by praying. Ask God to give you a greater desire for His way of life. Ask God, all of us, ask God to give us a greater desire for His Word in 2023. Ask Him. Ask Him and rely on Him, and then take concrete steps. Take responsibility. That's the psalmist's example, but start here. Pray. Ask God for a greater desire for His Word and His way of life. Or if you already have that desire, pray. And pray like Psalm 119 would have us pray. Pray these prayers. Pray, God, give me life according to Your Word. Pray, God, teach me Your statutes. Pray, God, make me understand the way of Your precepts. Pray, God, strengthen me according to Your Word. Pray, God, graciously teach me Your law. Pray. Number two, read. Read. Read the Bible more in 2023. If God enlarges our heart through the gospel, then we need to be reading Scripture more and more so we're seeing the gospel from God's Word more and more. Read in 2023. Tomorrow morning's weekly update email, you're going to find a one-year plan that you can print out leading you through the Bible. Print that out. Read the Bible cover to cover in 2023. It's just a little bit each day along the way. Print that and follow that. Increase your Bible intake in 2023. If a one-year plan is too much, is that way too much, read a book. Read the book of John. Read the book of 1 John. Move on to one of Paul's letters. Read through the Psalms. Just read Scripture in 2023. Read Scripture regularly. Let me encourage you to read ahead each week before we come here for the sermon. Every single Friday, we send out a heart prep email, and in that heart prep email is the Scripture passage for the following Sunday. Read it before you come and ask God to teach you and prepare your heart for hearing His Word with His people. Read the Bible more in 2023. Number three, memorize. Memorize. Memorize God's Word in 2023. Some of us think, I can't memorize Scripture. I just can't do it. For whatever reason, I'm not good at memorizing. Maybe you had a bad experience memorizing Shakespeare in high school. I don't know, but I can't memorize Scripture. Well, listen to this. Lord willing, 14 weeks from today, we're going to be in this room on Easter Sunday. We're going to hear God's Word, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Three verses of Scripture, Easter Sunday, 14 weeks from today. Memorize those three verses by Easter Sunday. Make it a goal to memorize Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 by Easter Sunday. That's 14 weeks to memorize three verses. Every single person in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, every one of us can do that over the next 14 weeks. Memorize Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I promise you, if you give it a chance, you can memorize more than you think you can. Start with Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and then add on from there. Listen, if God's Word is what enables us to follow Him wholeheartedly, which is what we see in Scripture here, strengthen me according to Your Word. Give me life according to your word, if God's word is what enables us to follow him wholeheartedly, how would your life change? How would your life change if you made it a goal to memorize one verse a month for 2023? Or one verse a week for 2023? Memorize God's word. You can do it. And finally, the fourth word, the word together. Together. It's not a verb, but here's what I mean. Do these things with others. Do these things with others. So join a group where you can talk about God's word. Our life groups would be a great place to start. Join one of the life groups here at Mountain Creek. Jump in our core classes. We're going to start those next Wednesday, January the 11th, right here. We're going to go in depth in Scripture. Jump in one of our core classes if you're an adult. Start a smaller Bible study group. If you're looking for even more, get a few folks and just study Scripture together. Do these things with others. Find some people who will help you read and learn and understand and apply God's word in 2023. And if you need help finding a group like that, let me know, and I'll get you connected to somebody. And we do all of this because this is where God gives life. This is where God gives life. This is where God gives strength. This is where God gives hope to weak and weary and wavering sinners like me and you, right here in his word. This is what's going to make the difference for you in 2023. This is what's going to bring about the right kind of change in your life. So let's make 2023 a year where we're in this book. Would you bow? Let's pray together.